Okay. Well, a couple weeks ago, Doug was up and taught wonderfully and about the cornerstone. And I'm not going to teach on the cornerstone or the plumb line, but who is the cornerstone? Jesus Christ. Thank you. Okay. So he opened with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We didn't go there, but we're going to go there this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And he quoted this verse. He was talking about how he's seeing more people come to salvation and that they need to grow up, right, into the truth. And we hear our manifestations from God, from via Jack, that whose word is truth? God's word is truth, isn't it? So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, someone there could read that for me?
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
You know, we have called this verse, I don't know if that's really true, but in man's terminology, like God's mission statement, right? This is what God desires for all men, okay? That they may, first of all, be what?
Saved.
Saved. And how do men become saved?
Believe.
Romans 10:9, right? Thou if God thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? So getting saved is what? A moment in time, right? It's instantaneous when you're saved. If you believe Romans 10:9 and confess it and believe it, you are saved. You have a salvation. Okay. The second part of this 2 Timothy 2:4 is and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay. Now, is that instantaneous? No. It takes some time, right? Coming to a knowledge of truth takes time. It takes also some effort, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to look at today, okay? Christian growth. Okay, this is a immense topic. We're not going to cover everything, obviously, in half hour, but we'll hit some points and hopefully you can learn this morning. But the first thing we have to realize that as born again believers, once you are saved, right, you're born again, you believe Romans 10:9, okay, we are what? We are have spiritual life. We are now spiritual beings, okay? Jesus Christ did not come to repair our lives, right? He came to bring us new life, spiritual life. Let's turn to John chapter 3. We're not going to John 3:16. We're going to John chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to read the first six verses of John chapter 3. And this talks about two kinds of life. Okay? So we'll start in verse 1, John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered, Jesus' answers sometimes are kind of like, doesn't directly answer the question. He's kind of like, his answer is kind of a little different, isn't it? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, right? Now, was Nicodemus asking directly about the kingdom of God? Not really. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto Jesus, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, so obviously Nicodemus is not quite understanding what Jesus is talking about, right? In verse 5, Jesus further explains, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, so that's a pretty clear answer, but the question arises, what is it being born of the Spirit? The second birth is not a physical birth like your first birth, is it? To enter the kingdom of God, you must have spiritual life. You don't get that by being a morally good person, right? You get that by believing the gospel, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You get that by believing Romans 10:9. Okay. That which is born, generated, produced, or brought forth of the flesh is flesh. That which is born, generated, produced, and brought forth of the spirit is spirit. The flesh is one life form, right? And the spirit is an entirely different life form. Verse 6 of the NIV says, flesh giveth birth to flesh, but the spirit giveth birth to spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So once you are born again, and we're all born again in this room, I believe, we have spiritual life. We are spiritual beings. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 9. First Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Laura, I think your manifestation kind of keyed on that. You know, we have a lot to look forward to, don't we? You know, that's such an encouraging verse in and of itself. Let's continue in verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us who are born again, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. If you are not born again, and only have flesh, born of the flesh, right, can you know God? Can you know what? Because God's Spirit. You can't know God through the flesh. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, okay, which is flesh, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, haven't we? So we can know this spiritual realm we live in. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 13 in Ephesians 1. Talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit in this verse. So anyway, there, Ephesians 1:13. Want to read that verse for me?
In whom ye have also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
And verse 14a says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So, you know, when we, in whom also you trusted, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, so we are saved, right? When we get saved, we get the gift of Holy Spirit. God gave us this gift, his Holy Spirit, so that we can communicate with him. We can talk to him. We can worship him. We can fellowship with him. We can climb into his arms. We are spiritual beings. It's who we are now, and we can't lose it. It says we are sealed in verse 13. It can't be separated from us. You know, I'm not a person with Holy Spirit, okay? I am a spiritual being. Just as much as any angel is a spiritual being, just as much as Jesus Christ was a spiritual being, just as much as God is a spiritual being, I am a spiritual being now, if you are born again. Let's turn to Romans 6. We have to know who we are if we are to grow in this spiritual realm, right? We have to know we're spiritual beings. We have to identify with that. Romans 6, we'll start in verse 3, says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. What are these verses telling us? Okay, that we have died, just like Jesus Christ was died and buried and rose again. We have, in like manner, we have died and been buried and raised just like Christ. We have been raised to what? A new life, a spiritual life. And it says, because of that, the end of verse 4 says, even so, we should walk in this newness of life. Okay, not walk as the world walks in flesh, but walk in this newness of life. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Something that's baptized takes on the characteristics of what it's baptized into. Okay, take a cucumber. We put a cucumber into a brine solution, okay, salt and seasonings, and it becomes what? A pickle. It becomes something new. It is no longer a cucumber, is it? It's a pickle. I don't call it a cucumber because it's no longer a cucumber. It doesn't taste like a cucumber. It has now the characteristics of something new, a pickle, of what it's been placed into, right? The seasonings, the salt, the brine solution of. It does not taste like a cucumber. It does not look like a cucumber because it is something different. It is a pickle. So before we got born again, we were identified with Adam, right? He had fleshly life. Now we, as those born again, those baptized into Christ, are now identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We are no longer what we once were, okay? Men without spirit. We have died to our old flesh nature. So as Christ was raised from the dead into a new being, we need to walk in this newness of life. And why? Because that we are new. That is who we are now. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. A couple pages over. Romans 8 is even more succinct in why we should walk in this newness of life. Romans 8, verse 5. Can somebody read verse 5 for me?
They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit.
Okay. So we are now spiritual beings, right? So are we to mind or think about, mind means to think, thoughts, think about things of the flesh, or are we to think about things of the spirit? Verse 6. You want to continue with verse 6? Jenny?
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
That's quite a contrast, isn't it? Life versus death. Verse 7.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Okay. You know, Romans 8, 6 is one of the great verses in the Word. For to be carnally, which means fleshly, worldly minded, and minded means thinking what you're thinking about, what your thoughts go to, is what? Death. It has no value for you, right? But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So what do I focus my thoughts on? What am I thinking about? What do I focus my attention? What do I value? God says focus on me and what I've made you to be. That is life and peace. Thinking of things of the world has no value for you. You know, that's easier said than done sometimes, and we'll get that further on in this teaching. But so why did God make spiritual life available to us? Because he wants a relationship with you, okay? You personally. He wants a personal relationship with you, a deep, intimate relationship because he loves you. Okay, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. So we are now spiritual beings, which can have a deep, wonderful relationship with our Father God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And Mary, can you read that verse?
In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
I'll read verse 10 as well.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Right. Okay. So man's big problem was sin, right? And God had an answer to it. He fixed it. And God started this relationship. He approached you. He loved you first, right? The question is, how are we going to respond? It's like any relationship you have. Once your relationship has started with someone, okay, and it started when you got born again with God, how are you going to continue to respond? Okay, Romans chapter 12 has some answers for it. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Very, probably famous verses, very verses we know pretty well. How are we going to respond to God's love? Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, or I exhort you, therefore, brethren, those who are born again, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, be conformed to this world the way they think, but be transformed by what? Renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, God's will for your life is to grow in your spirituality, to experience his good, acceptable, and perfect will in your life. You know, what we're talking about in verses 1 and 2 is really discipleship, being taught, you know, being taught, being a student, learning from God, and following his direction. You know, this is ongoing in your life as a Christian. It's true for a brand new Christian to renew your mind to the word, right? And it's true for someone who has been in the word for maybe 50 years. Okay, it doesn't matter how long you're into the word. This is a spiritual growth is not automatic. Okay, spiritual growth is intentional. It's a choice we make every day. You are as close to God as you want to be. The more you grow spiritually, the more you can hear from God. You know, verse 1 is a tough verse, especially for new Christians, okay? I struggled with this verse for a long time. A living sacrifice, okay? You know, you're in your mind, you have various things you think about when you read those words. But until you realize that you're a spiritual being, a child not of the world, but of God, that verse seems very harsh, doesn't it? Let's take a brief dive into this living sacrifice thing, okay? What are we talking about here with living sacrifice? We're talking about obedience, okay, basically. That's what it boils down to. And we are so scared of that word, you know. Think of it this way. If you look at an impersonal object, like this chair I'm sitting in, okay, we call it impersonal, you have an impersonal relationship with the chair because it doesn't respond to you. It makes no demands on you. You control the chair. You pick up the chair, it doesn't say, don't pick me up. Don't put me there in the closet. I want to be out here. It cannot talk to you. It's not alive, right? So we have an impersonal relationship with objects that are not alive, right? It just doesn't make any demand, so it's an impersonal relation. So take a person, a human being. Okay, you can have a personal relationship with them because they are alive and they can communicate, right? But to have a relationship with them, you soon will discover what their goals, desires, and wills are, what they like and what they don't like, okay? And if you want to continue in that relationship with them, you have to submit some of your goals to their goals. And if you don't do that, your relationship will probably end. Come on, husbands and wives, I'm talking about you. Okay? If you've been in a relationship for a long time, you realize it's a give and take, right? You cannot get everything you want and get your way every time, right? There's a give and take to it. And usually friendships are usually that way as well. There's some give and take to them, right? You can't always get what you want. Okay, now, how do you relate to the ultimate supreme being, who is God? Okay, the only way you can relate to a being that is all-powerful, all-wise, almighty, okay, all-loving, is to surrender yourself fully to him. Why? Because he is omnipotent. He knows everything, okay, and he's also all-loving. He cares immensely about you. So why wouldn't you submit your will to someone, A, who knows a lot more than you do, and also loves you fully. I mean, it makes total logical sense to do that. The more you get to know God, okay, you realize he has your best interest at heart, and he is all loving and all-knowing, and you're going to spend eternity with him. Okay, so wouldn't it be wise to submit your will to God's will? Don't you think he knows what's best for you? You know, and Paul says at the end of verse 1, Romans 12, 1, that's your reasonable service, okay? And it is. Let's turn to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. You know, somebody who certainly understood this and followed this and practiced this was who? Jesus Christ, yes. He certainly did this and encouraged his followers, which were called his disciples, to do the same. Joe, if you're on John chapter 8, start at verse 28 and read verses 28 and 29 for me.
John 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
So the Father has taught Jesus, he spoke them, right? So who was God? Who was Jesus Christ's teacher? It was God. Verse 29.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
I do always those things that please him. Okay, so God, Jesus Christ listened to God, and he what? He obeyed God. Verse 30, Joe.
As he spake these words, many believed on him.
Verse 31.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
Okay, so then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, okay, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That's a conditional statement, isn't it? It's a conditional upon what? Being a disciple is conditional upon what? If you continue in my word. So when you believe on Jesus Christ, you are saved, right? If you continue in his words, then you grow and are his disciples. Verse 32, Joe.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you.
There we go. Okay. And there was one of the rewards of being a disciple, okay, of following in the words of God and Jesus Christ. The more you listen to God, the more truth you know, and the more freedom you have. You're going to be set free from the expectations of the world and others. You're going to be set free from past memories that bother you. You're going to be set free from guilt. You're going to be set free from resentment. You're going to be set free from bad habits. You're going to be set free from shame. You're going to be set free from the pressures and stresses that the world tries to put on you. That's the truth of Romans 12, verse 2. The more renewing you do, the more transformed you are to the truth. You know, discipleship is about knowing the truth, which makes you free. Not freedom to do whatever you want, okay? That would be conformed to this world, wouldn't it? But freedom to understand what is really going on, who controls what, who really loves you, who really cares about you, and who really your Father is. You know, remember the peace and joy from Romans 8? That, you know, so this is all about trust, you know, trusting God. Whom do you trust? Do you trust the world and what its answers are? You trust God and his word. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. These are some pretty common verses we're hitting this morning, but you can't know these verses enough. You can't believe them enough. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And Laura, if you're there, could you read verses 5 through 8 of Proverbs 3?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones.
You know, these verses are pretty simplistic. I mean, there's not really any really heaviness in them. It's just that you know, these verses are easy if you trust in God, okay? If you don't trust in him, these are impossible, okay? You know, let's look at an analogy of a athlete-coach relationship. You know, imagine somebody's getting ready to sign a scholarship and go to a basketball scholarship or football scholarship to Michigan, okay? I'm being loving, Joe. You know, and, you know, he comes to the coach, it's ready signing day, and he asks the coach, you know, I'm going to sign here, coach, for scholarship to come to your school, but you're not going to ask me to do anything hard, are you? You know, I don't like this, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and going to the weight room and you making me run these sprints and everything else. And I, you know, I want to come to your college and, you know, work, be an athlete for you, but you're not going to ask me anything hard for me to do, are you? And what's the coach going to say? Yes. Yes. He says, don't you want to be a great football player? Okay. Don't you want to be all pro? Okay. Of course I'm going to train you into the ground. Of course I'm going to ask things for you to do every day you're not going to want to do. Okay. You're going to curse me under your breath. You're going to say, I can't do one more wind sprint. I can't do one more lap, but I'm a coach. I'm your mentor. If you give yourself to me, I will make you everything you want to be. Okay. So look at Proverbs 3:5-8 again. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Okay. God will give you directions if we ask, if we trust. Okay. Just like the believing in the coach, believe in God, and he will direct you. You know, and how do we build that trust in God? You know, turn here, but Romans 10:7 says, so then faith cometh by what?
Hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. We build our faith, we build our trust, we build our believing by what? Hearing what God has to say, his word. The more of God's word we hear, we heard about manifestations, the more we can believe it, the more we can trust it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. If anybody's there, you want to read that for me?
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
Okay. As newborn babes. Okay. This is an analogy, right? Okay. And a newborn baby, desires what from its mother? Milk, because it knows that if it doesn't get milk, it's not going to survive. Okay, it cries for it, it demands it, it desires it more than anything. Okay, now we're not newborn babes in the Word. A lot of us have been in the Word of God for a long time. But again, this is an analogy, and it says the analogy is as a newborn babe desires milk from its mother. Okay, demands it, needs it, desires it more than anything. We need the sincere milk of the word that we can grow. You see the analogy? Doesn't mean you're a newborn babe and just got born again and, okay, now we need the word of God. You need the word of God every day, okay? So this analogy is saying, just like a baby desires its mother's milk, we need to desire the word of God every day and demand for it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're wrapping up here towards the end. We like that word, especially in business, we like that word profit, don't we? Mm-hmm. Profit is good, right, in business. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, okay, it's God-breathed, and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God... It's not just for men of God. Okay, this man of God is everyone born again, not just the pastor, not just your pastor, okay, not just somebody who wants to teach or whatever. This man of God is every born-again Christian. That the man of God may be perfect, and perfect is better translated mature, okay? that this man of God, that every born-again Christian may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. God's word is profitable, okay? Profitable for doctrine, knowing what God's will is, profitable for reproof, to know when we are erring in some way, okay? Profitable for correction, to get us back onto the right path. So that the man of God, that's all of us, okay, may be perfect or may be mature, thoroughly equipped for all good work. You know, God gave us an instruction manual for Holy Spirit, and that's called the Bible. And unlike most instruction manuals, okay, it's a good one. He wants us to read it because it's profitable for us. Galatians chapter 5, we're almost done here. So what's the benefit of all this Christian growth? Okay, Galatians chapter 5. And Jenny, could you read verses 22 through 25 of Galatians 5?
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
There's that phrase again, let us walk in the Spirit. You know, God tells us many times in His Word to walk in the Spirit. We are dead, in verse 24, we are dead to the flesh, okay? So spiritual growth is measured by what? The fruit you bear. The primary fruit being what? Love. It's mentioned first, love. Okay, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's all good fruit, isn't it? No bad fruit in that category. So, you know, the walking in the Spirit is not measured by how much you know. It's not measured by your Bible knowledge. It's not measured by your skills. It's not measured by the words you say. It's not measured by how much you attend church. Your spiritual maturity is measured by how much fruit you bear, spiritual fruit, how much you love God, and how much you love others. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. I think we'll close in that, Matthew 22. We want to bear much fruit, don't we? Nothing wrong with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Matthew 22, verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So how do we love God that way in verse 37, if we don't spend time with him? If we don't know him, don't experience his love. No relationship grows if you don't spend time together. You don't have to turn here, but John chapter 13, verse 35 says, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So God wants us to grow up, doesn't he? And he's made the means for us to grow up. We have the Spirit, and we have the instruction manual. It's up to us how much we want to grow in it. You know. So Father, we are so thankful that you have given us your Spirit so we can know that we are saved. We can rest in that and know we have eternity with you. And thank you so much for your instruction manual, Holy Spirit, which is the Bible, your words. Thank you that we can go to it every day. We can enjoy it as babes who desire the milk of their mother. We can go to your word and desire that milk of your word, that we can grow, we can develop, and we become mature. And we can show fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that you want us to, Father. Thank you so much for our lives. Thank you for all the believers here, and thank you for the family of God you put us in, that we can encourage one another to grow up and believe your word more and more. Thank you, Father, for just being a God who made everything available for a wonderful, abundant life. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So people have a great week, knowing that you're a child of God and growing a little more each and every day. Thank you.
Thank you.